Hello and welcome to the Aesthetic Insider Show. I'm your host, Angela O'Mara. I'm here today with Amy Fairclough. Amy is a registered nurse injector who practices in Augusta, Georgia, and has a satellite office in Atlanta, Georgia. Amy, welcome to the Aesthetic Insider Show. It's such a pleasure to have you here with us today.
Thank you, Angela. So glad to be talking to you again. Thanks for having me.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I've been dying to do this show with you because, you know, we talked recently about some of the really kind of exciting and interesting and intriguing things that you do in your practice. And but before we get started, Amy, why don't you tell our audience a little bit about yourself?
Sure, Angela. So I have been a nurse almost 27 years. That's scary to even say that. 27 years. My background started in the OR pre-op at the hospital, PACU. That was my baby for almost 18 years. And during the last few years of that, I was married to an oral surgeon, and I had actually started Botox for therapeutic reasons in his office for post-jaw surgery, TMJ. And I did that for a couple of years while still working part-time at the hospital. And finally, after a year or so, I said, you know, this is really helping people medically, but what about like aesthetically? Like, I feel like this is fixing to really be big on the market. You know, back in 2012, med spas weren't as prevalent as they are now, you know, and Botox wasn't quite as prevalent either. So I made the decision. I made a big decision and left the hospital after 18 years and said, I'm going to go all in. And so I started working at his office 2 to 3 days a week and really just started building my clientele. I didn't realize how big it was going to get so quickly. I wasn't prepared. I have a nursing background, not a business. So it was really overwhelming at first. And I just kind of had to take it day by day. But yes. I started that way. And so now we grew so rapidly that I actually bought a building across the street from him, the parking lot, and opened a med spa. Because for about 4 or 5 years, I was just working out of his office in a tiny little room that was about the size of a closet, if you can believe that. I was running about 600 patients through there by myself.
Amazing.
Yes, it was overwhelming a little bit, but it was exhilarating at the same time. It was so fun. And so I literally hired my patient coordinator while I was doing her lips. I asked her, I said, what are you doing here? And she said, I'm coming to get my lips done. And she'd worked for a plastic surgeon at the time. And she said, but I know to come get my lips done by you. And so the phone was ringing off the hook. And I was overwhelmed and I said, do you want to work for me? And she said, yes. And so it's been history ever since. But we moved across the street and we started with about a 3 or 4 man crew doing the very basics, Botox, filler, small things. And here we are. We just had our 5-year anniversary in this building. And now just about anything you could think of, aesthetic, not surgical, we've brought it into the practice. So it's amazing.
That's a great story. I mean, and you know, that's like everybody's dream, isn't it? You know, because it sounds like you were an overnight success, which I know there's no such thing as an overnight success, but it did happen pretty quickly for you, which just shows that you were just right on target with your intuition, I think, in that instant.
Yes, that's a very big part of everything I've done in this practice is intuition, listening to, you know, your soul. I was actually at a yoga retreat when I was building this and renovating it. And so that was kind of where I had to, there were a lot of changes in my life. I was going through a divorce. I was opening a med spa. I had 2 boys that I was raising as a single mom. And it was overwhelming. It was a lot, and I wasn't clear on how to hold it all together and what direction to go. And so I went on a yoga retreat to Aruba. And when I came back, my focus personally was so aligned my business. I knew the kind of vibe I wanted in this office, and it all just kind of came together. It's one big piece. We actually, our office is really well known for the vibe here. We actually have people come in all the time and they say, I just don't want to leave. I wish I could give you a tour. We've got, you know, oils burning. We've got low lights. We've got mantra walls where people can actually leave positive words of affirmation for other patients. We just, you know, we wanted to create a space where people could come and just feel good, including my staff, including me.
Yes.
And so that was the goal while we were building it. And so we've maintained that.
You know, it sounds like you created a very safe haven and beautiful, relaxing atmosphere. How long did it take for you to kind of cultivate that? Like you said, you came back from this yoga retreat, and then did you just go and execute this vision that you had, or did it take some time?
I kind of did. I was in this mode. I came back and, you know, the workers at the other office were like, you were never the same. You came back with this whole different mindset. And I talk about that a lot, as your mindset. You know, I believe however you start your day, however you reset your life, you got to wake up every morning with that same mindset, that same focus, and drive that all day, every day. You know, don't get me wrong, there's hard times. I mean, they, you know, and you're going to, but I tell all my staff, you know, this is kind of a rule of thumb I have here is if you're having a bad day, if you're, you know, can't hold it together, there's personal things going on, I would rather you call in and me be one staff less and keep the energy here positive, keep it good. And then when you need to come back, rather than bringing the negative energy in, bring the sadness, bring the, you know, I get it. Some people need a day to kind of decompress.
Yeah.
But it's crazy. It's, I don't know, when you walk in the store here, it's kind of like an aura and kind of leaves. It's kind of, the bad is gone for whatever reason. And it's just, it's a blessing. It's a wonderful feeling.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Well, you know, for a, you know, like you said, there were struggles, and there always are. I mean, every day, as much as we want every day to be a perfect day, there are some days that just are not perfect. But, you know, I think we have in our industry now, there's such a growth in female entrepreneurs, female nurse injectors, the growth in terms of the numbers of, you know, women like you that made this conscious choice to maybe not be in the ER, you know, OR, and not be in a medical setting where they work for somebody else and they're going into, you know, private business for themselves. What kind of advice would you give to any of our viewers who are on this, a similar journey to you?
You know, I was looking up statistics yesterday, Angela, and just kind of refreshing and keeping abreast of it. And I think they said there's over 28,000 med spas in the U.S. right now, and it's growing at over 14%. Is that good? Is that bad? Well, I'll tell you, one of the main reasons I'm a trainer, and I train for companies and Allergan and all these others, partly is because I want people to do things the right way. It only reflects back on all of us that own med spas and run med spas and try to do things the right way. You know, it is a reputation as a whole for the industry. And so I would tell anyone, you know, if you're wanting to start, first of all, be ready. This is not a 9-to-5 job. This is a, you sleep with one eye open. I eat, sleep, and breathe this. Do I go a little overboard? Maybe, but it's my passion. And I think you have to have it. You know, if you're looking for this for quick money, if you're looking for this because it sounds like a fun job, you're going in it for the wrong reasons. You really need to have, again, that mindset that you're, this is going to be something you commit to. You have to like stay abreast of all the new laws, the safety precautions, you know, all this goes into play because your staff is looking to you for answers. You know, you've got to build this with the intention of we're going to build it from the ground up with a stable base, you know, and do things the right way. I think so many people go into this industry, oh, it's quick money. You know, this is fun. I can do this. And you're setting yourself up for failure on so many reasons, partly because you know, it's going to be expensive. Get ready. If you do things the right way, it's going to be expensive. It's going to be challenging. You know, there's sometimes people come in and I don't have the answer, but I'm going to figure it out, you know? So, you know, I think it's more than anything, don't do it at a time in your life when you can only give 30%. If you're like, I'm really busy with all these other things, my hands are in a bunch of pots, it's not going to be successful. You really, really have to be devoted to your practice.
You know, that's a great thing that you bring up, because I mean, I do see a lot of the newer, you know, newer female entrepreneurs, like I said, coming into the industry, and they're clearly kind of, you know, spending a lot of money on the decor and the look and the feel and all of that, which, you know, is wonderful because they're trying to create an atmosphere. But that does come with high cost. And, you know, with the high cost comes, you know, stress and things. And, you know, so what would you recommend? I mean, would you kind of recommend starting small? Would you recommend just go all out and get the money, make it happen, give it 100% or 110%? You know, what kind of tips can you lend to people who are really, you know, at that point right now of wondering what's the next step for them?
Exactly. I would, you know, definitely say start small. Like I said, I was in a closet, but I made that closet very much my zen. You know, I had my candles, I had my oils burning, I had my lavender wraps for the patient. You know, I made it as zen as I could in that small space until I could afford to build it bigger and make it bigger, you know. And with this industry, there's always something new coming out. There's always a new laser. There's always a new product. And, you know, and buy this to help with your patients. And I think sometimes, you know, it's hard, because it took me a long time and an office manager that I hired not so long ago to finally tell me, Amy, you don't need all that. Let's look at what's going to be your biggest ROI, or let's look at, you know, what's going to help the practice now. And so I try to find a fine balance, you know, is it going to be comforting and, you know, aesthetically pleasing to the patient, but is it also going to be productive for me and, you know, bring some profit or revenue to the practice?
Yeah. That's wonderful. So now let's just talk about now the growth of your business. And what do you think are some of the qualifiers in terms of what had made you so successful? You know, like you said, you know, you went from zero to treating 600 patients from a to now having this little slice of heaven in Augusta that people they talk about, they probably travel miles to get there, and then they don't want to leave. Like, what is it you do? I mean, obviously, results is one thing, but I think to keep that type of patient loyalty that you clearly have attained.
Well, first of all, thank you for calling it a slice of heaven. That's exactly what I like to call it here. It's like a slice of heaven. And thank you for being so complimentary on it. And when you say Augusta, you know, it's funny because we have it here. This is our main office. And then we have a satellite in Atlanta. But if you want all the work, they mostly come to this office, is where it all is. And most people don't even know where Augusta is unless you play golf. We're the Masters golf tournament. But other than that, we're a little dot on the map. But I'm proud of that little dot. I've been born and raised here. And, you know, I think I get asked this all the time. And, you know, what keeps your patients coming back? And there's a lot of things, Angela, you know, and it's trial and error. And I like to, you know, say that I usually sit up at night until about 2 a.m. I'm embarrassed to say, but I'm always researching things, trying to figure out what is going to be successful, what will work, and of course implementing it and trial and error. One of our biggest things we do here is we extend a very lengthy patient consultation. I book my new patients out for almost an hour. And you know, some people will disagree with this. They'll think, you know, that's a little bit, you know, too long, too much time, but I have implemented this since the day I started, and I feel like it's been a very positive thing. You know, I think it also has to be gauged to your area, your clientele. You know, in big cities, you know, maybe they don't have as much time to do that. This is a smaller suburb, you know, and so everyone kind of knows everybody here. And so creating a relationship with your patient, you know, how's your mom doing? How's that new job you got? It really makes them feel like they're important. And during that consultation, I'm getting to know that person on every level. You know, I am also explaining the whole entire treatment process. I just had a new patient yesterday and she brought her daughter. She was scared she wasn't going to be able to understand, you know, everything that I was saying. So her daughter would kind of go over it with me. I wrote everything down. I gave her a treatment plan, the pricing. All this is at the consultation.
Yeah.
I give them a new patient bag, a welcome bag that kind of gives everything, summarizes everything. We have a membership program, a loyalty program. It puts that in there. I give them little brochures or pamphlets on the procedures we talk about. So if I'm talking about Voluma, if I'm talking about Cabela, Silver, I'm giving them the brochures from the company on that so they can not only hear it, talk about it in my office, they go home and they actually can reread about it.
Yeah.
So they feel very confident when they come because that consultation, we answered 90% of their questions about what's going to be happening the next 6 to 9 months.
Yeah. That's cool because, you know, and it, you know, I know, like you said, like you're a trainer for Allegheny and some of the other companies, and I do think a lot of people in our industry they really forget that those companies that are here to support you. I mean, like they
yes,
these brochures and they have all these things and they make all of this education to the patient available and at your fingertips, and the fact that you actually put it together and give it to them, I think is brilliant. You know,
it
really is, you know, and even the little, I've always said it, you know, when we've done practice consulting is, you know, even have your receptionist or your staff, you know, if a patient tells them, you know, there's something going on in their life, whether it's like, you know, their son's about to graduate high school or university or med school or wherever, you know, make a note in the file, because then the next time that patient comes, it's a talking point to really make them feel special. And that's what I think you do, is you make people feel important and you make them feel special. And I think it's a winning combination for loyalty.
It is, absolutely. I used to, you know, when we had paper charts back not too long ago, I would write that.
I forgot, I'm old.
I love paper charts. I would probably still be doing it. We're in PMR now, but yes, I would write that. I would, you know, put daughter, you know, just left for college, or, you know, patient got a new job. And it really makes them feel important. And it's important to me as well, you know. So I think that's a key factor as well.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it shows that you care. And I think, again, that's another key. It's like they really want to feel like you care for them and that they're not just another patient or another Botox patient, another filler patient. You know, there's more than that. Well,
exactly.
So, you know, I do have some questions because, you know, you talk about training. And so I think, you know, again, for viewers or listeners who are really on the journey of beginning a med spa or opening a med spa or looking to create really, you know, a business for themselves in medical aesthetics and specifically with injectables. The training, you know, there's a lot of training going on in the industry now, which I think is wonderful. Do you have any commentary there on the need for training, the type of training, you know, qualifying for training? Again, because at the end of the day, you know, when you say, what was it, 28,000 med spas, was that
yes,
said? You know, well, I think a lot of it is also patient-driven. I mean, we've seen in recent years a huge number of an increase in non-surgical patient awareness. And so, you know, how do we kind of keep complications out of the market? And I think training is the key to that.
Angela, that could not be more true. I am constantly pushing for training for myself, for other injectors, you know, I feel like you can never, you don't want to ever stop learning. But, you know, even as 11 years into this field, and I'm still learning new tricks for Botox. So it's amazing to me when people get trained on Botox or fillers, you know, 10 years ago, and they haven't done a refresh course. They haven't had any more training since then. It's overwhelming. I'm like, you know, not only are you not, you're doing your patients a disservice, but you're also, you know, it's a safety thing. You know, there's, I feel like we're always learning new safety measurements or tools, you know, every couple months. And I think if you're not going to trainings and, you know, learning these things, you're not able to implement them in your practice, you're setting yourself up for risks, for failures. I've been training for Allergan, I think, for almost 8 years now.
Okay.
And I trained for some other companies as well, some dentist groups, dentist spot. But, you know, I love training, and I encourage everyone, you know, if this is ever a field that you think you want to go into, be prepared to continuously train and learn, because there's always something new in the pipeline coming down, for sure.
Yeah. And I think, you know, is not just a training on a product, it's the new indications of that product. You know, so like you said, if you were trained on Botox 10 years ago, there's many different newer applications for use of Botox, or of, you know, the same with different fillers, you know, and learning from people who have extended or exceeded the training from the past, you know, with their new ideas and new techniques and new ways and patient results. So yeah, I think training is really super important. How often do you think is, like, how, I mean, again, you're a trainer and you go to trainings yourself, but, you know, it does take time out of the practice. And so how do you have like a formula of how many trainings a year you should do?
Yeah, it does take time out. I actually, I see patients usually Tuesday through Saturday when I go to the Atlanta office on Saturdays, but Mondays are reserved for my training days. So normally if I train offices for other companies, I'll reserve the Mondays for that. That way it's not ticking away from my practice.
Yeah.
And then, of course, when I train for LA and CA and all of my favorite things, that's a weekend. And I know to prepare in advance for that. And it's wonderful.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you think that patients aren't watching to see which injectors are going to trainings and are getting the newest skills and safety, you know, precautions, they are. My patients come in all the time and they're like, oh, I saw you were, you know, out in California this week training, like, tell me about it. They watch, and it makes them feel much more confident to come to you knowing that you've been up to date with all of that. So it's important.
Yeah. And I think, you know, we do talk a lot on this podcast about social media, because it's obviously so huge. But I think you're right. It's like, you know, the practitioners have their patients following them, and they're seeing when you're out and about at trainings or at conferences or other things, bringing new techniques back to practice. So, yeah, I think you're right. And they probably do notice it, because, again, through those social media feeds, they're not only seeing what you're doing, but they're seeing what other people are doing.
Absolutely.
You know, and if the competition is of training on new techniques, then patient might think, well, my practitioner doesn't do that, but this person does, so I'll go and see them instead.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's great. So tell me, again, you've just set this beautiful stage. Do you have an anecdote or a favorite story or anything like over your years that would resonate with other people? Is just whether it was an aha moment or just a favorite cherished moment or a patient comment, or is there anything like you'd really like to share with our audience?
Yes, Angela, that just gave me chill bumps that you even asked that. This is the universe. I literally just had a patient come back to me last Friday, and she is one of my long-term patients. Really sticks in my mind. And it's so weird that you ask this, because I have not seen her in probably over 2 years. She moved to North Carolina. And she was one of my loyal patients when I was in the closet across the street. And she she remembers it well. She came to my office. This really hit me. She came to my office, you know, really down on herself. She came in, you know, we always say we're therapists as injectors, but this really was a moment where I really had to pull out the, you know, the empathetic card and really, I'm an empath normally, but I really had to figure out what the right answers were. She came to me, you know, she'd moved here from New York, didn't really know anyone, was having some issues in her marriage. Her husband and her were getting divorced. She knew no one here. She didn't have a job. She felt very dark and very alone. And she literally walked into my office, never, you know, had had anything done before, and started crying and just said, listen, I really need you to help me. I need to feel better. I'm in a very dark place. And she depended on me. And as, you know, as we are injectors, we don't set ourselves up for situations like that. It seems like it's always just people coming in happy, wanting their Botox, wanting their lips. But this was a different case. She really, I needed to look at her as a whole. And she trusted me. And I did a little video clip on her, actually, on my social media years ago, interviewing her. And she started crying. She said, you know, injectables, people think it's about vanity. There's way more to it than this. This changed my life. And it really did. It gave her a new outlook. She, you know, couldn't wait to come into our office monthly and see us. She did a 360, a complete change. And funny story, I haven't seen her. She moved to Charlotte 2 years ago, and she just came back to my office Friday and to visit us. And she was blown away. She couldn't believe the growth we had. But there was that connection, and she just wanted to come back to us even after all of these years. So I think that's a side that a lot of injectors are prepared for.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's something you really have to look inside yourself and say, hey, how am I going to help this patient? I know I can do injectables. I know I can do all of that, but there's a lot more to it than just looking good when you leave. So, yeah.
That's great. That's really heart touching to hear that story, because, you know, like you said, I mean, there's so much, you know, like we read in the news, the naysayers and whatever, that it's all vanity.
Yes.
And it's not, I mean, yeah, there's some vanity, but it's always getting your hair done, you know what I mean?
Of course.
Always buying designer clothes, you know, I mean, it's, but I do think that in many cases, it really is life-changing for some people. And I do think that the aesthetic industry is a life-changing industry on many levels. And that's a beautiful story.
It is. It's very life-changing. And, you know, I think that's part of the reason I'm such a huge believer in this industry. You know, we've seen a lot of lives transform, including mine. You know, I tell my staff, too, when patients like that leave, not only did we change their life, they changed ours.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's just a beautiful thing. I think it's a lot more involved than what the media sometimes likes to portray.
Mm-hmm. You know, I do have a question for you, because in our initial conversation, you was kind of, and this is changing track a little bit.
Yeah.
But back to, you know, like, how do we help our listeners be more successful? You know, like, what can we share now with a couple of tips of, you know, here's so many things you can do that you recommend that could make a difference to a new injector?
Yes, you know, we talk about this a lot in conferences and in other places. You know, what is the balance? You know, you need to give the patients there to get information from you. They're there. I tell people it's kind of like getting my if something goes wrong with my car, I take it to Jiffy Lube and say, fix it. I don't do this every day. I don't know where to even begin. I just need my car fixed. That's kind of the way most of our clients and patients come in. They don't know how to fix what's wrong. They just know they need it fixed and they want it fixed. So it's our job, you know, as an injector, to give them the options, give them the information, tell them how we can fix it. But also, you know, I hand them a mirror and I literally pull a chair up beside them and I'm leaning on the stretcher. I'm you know, feeling very casual with them, and I'm letting them speak too. I tell any new injector, you want to listen to the patient. You have to listen. You know, if you're providing all this information, number one, they're going to get a little overwhelmed. Yeah. If you're not going down the highway, they want to listen, to. And then, but also, you need to find out what their needs are and then really drive home with information on it. Give them the pre-care, the post-care, show them before and after pictures, and then give them a chance to ask questions after that. I think that goes back full circle to the long consultations. Give yourself time. You may have some patients come in and they don't want to talk. They know what they want. They've researched it. They come in and they know they want under eye fillip, and they've done all their work. So then it's individualized. You may not need to spend a lot of time with that patient. But my older clientele, they may come in and they want to go slow with this. They want you to go over every square inch of what's going to happen or what you predict could happen. And so they can walk out feeling a lot more comfortable. So I would say individualize it. It's about a 50-50. Listen to your patient, but also educate as well.
Yeah, and I do like you, Ryan. And again, there's so much kind of information out there now that there is a lot of patients who they know what they want, and they want a specific look, but whether it's lips, eyes, or whatever. And then there is the patient who just like says, "I don't know, I give me a refresher." Now, I would imagine, in every practice, there's sometimes patients that is not the right fit for you. Do you have any advice for patient selection in recognizing if a patient isn't the right fit for you?
Yes, absolutely.
Pushing it into, making it work.
Absolutely. I'll tell you, I wish someone would have warned me about this when I started years ago, and they didn't, and I had to kind of figure it out on my own. But you will. It's our job as injectors to say yes or no, and you are going to have the patients that push you. And I have turned many patients away. Could I have made a lot of money on that patient? Could I have popped it in and did what they wanted me to do and sent them out the door? Sure could have. Would I have been able to sleep at night? Probably not. You can spot them. There's, you have the patients that like to jump from office to office, and just go from provider to provider. You also have the ones that, have probably been told no at multiple other places. So they come to you to see if they can, I've even had some not tell me the truth about procedures they've had, whether it's implants, past surgeries in their face. And then, they want me to perform a procedure on them and then they weren't honest with me up front. So that's a danger. That's a danger. And, I think it comes with experience, recognizing you can kind of pick up on the energy a little bit. But again, this is where, talking to the patient, maybe even looking at their past medical history on the HMP, but you do have to use your judgment. And, I think it's up to each injector what you choose to do. I call myself Safety Sally. My staff knows it. I say it all the time. I would rather do less than add more or err on the side of caution and wonder, should I have done that? Whether do it and then, regret it. So I think that comes with experience and just listening to your intuition again.
Yeah. Because I do think if you are really valid about your patient selection with a goal of, obviously we all want every patient to have a great result, to walk away happy, but things happen. And so I do think the importance of the patient selection in, there's still no guarantees or ensuring that everything's going to be perfect, but it pushes you in the right direction to perfection, I think, versus complications, issues, and especially if a patient isn't truthful. I mean, it really does open you up to, and if they've had other surgeries or procedures that you can actually define from just looking or even examining them, that could create a complication.
Absolutely. And, I always tell people, you think it's, and I could kick myself. Sometimes there have been things I've done, like I did a mother of the bride's lips right before 10 days before the wedding. And boy, do I regret that. She talked me into it and I regret it. And so, you know, it's lessons learned. You know, it's one of those things where you just trial and error.
Yeah. So you mentioned earlier about hiring your practice manager, or patient coordinator.
Yes.
She came in as a patient and you hired her right there and then. I mean, no interview, no checking her resume, no application, none of that. The team is as important as, you know, and not just the happiness of the team, but of course the happiness, but the productivity of the team, the interaction of the whole team. How do you keep your team working as cohesively as you seem to?
Yes. Well, I will tell you, I mean, we've had some changes over the years, lessons learned. I kid around. We did a personality test. We did a personality test with all of my staff to figure out, you know, who's yellow, who's red, who's green. And it's funny because mine changed over the years. I used to be 98% yellow. And now I am mostly yellow, which is happy, outgoing, but I do have a lot of red in me. And I think that comes with being a business owner. You know, I was naive at the beginning. I trusted everyone. I thought, you know, everyone that was working for me was in it to make this successful, this practice successful. You learn sometimes that's not the case. And I think that comes, you know, with trial and error as well. I will tell you now, we have the best staff and team here. People come in all the time and say, I just want to hang out here with you guys all day. You know, it's a morale thing. You know, if you have a positive morale, if you lead by example, your patients are going to feel that. And they're going to know, you know, this staff isn't getting along. There's some tension here. You know, we really all help each other. I think keeping your staff also educated. I think that's a big thing. You know, people sometimes, if they're not educated, they may feel, what's the word I'm looking for? They may, you know, not feel as, you know, they're not going to give you the information you need to know because they don't know. And they may get, you know, kind of moody, kind of set back, not a team player because they don't feel like they're as informed about procedures and techniques as the rest of the staff. So we're always doing trainings here, sending my staff for trainings. But I have a good group now. We all kind of see the same outcome, you know. When I grow, they grow. When AE grows, they all grow. And, you know, it's one of those things. I'm with this group more than I am my family. Embarrassed to say, we're here all the time. They're my, you know, my work wives. And we all are here together. And it's a good environment. And I think that's important. It's going to reflect back in your patient, you know, being loyal to you, you know, retention. They don't want to come back to a place where they feel like the staff is at odds with each other, you know, or they're not working as a team. So I think it all bounces back on that.
Yeah. You know, I think that is great that you say about educating your staff, because, you know, when you think about the role of people who work in aesthetic practices, And many of which is not just the, you know, other nurse injectors or the medical staff, MAs, but more administrative staff who are working with you. There's not like a school that they go to learn, you know, how I work in a medical practice. You know, the same as there isn't in schooling for doctors and nurses, there isn't, you know, how to be a business owner, you know. So there is a lot of trial and error in hiring people who don't have the knowledge is really what it is. And with that knowledge, it brings competence. And with competence, it brings confidence. You know, and so I think that's kind of where you were up. It's like, well, they're afraid of saying certain things because they don't have the confidence because they don't have the knowledge and the competence to say the right thing. And it's because they're probably afraid of making a mistake, you know. And, you know, so there's a lot of
truth. Yes, I say that all the time, Angela. I always say, you know, my boys, one's graduated from University of Georgia, the other one's there, and they have business degrees. Yeah. They are going to school for business. I went to school for nursing. You know, I'm teaching myself daily. She has eliminated so much of that off of my shoulders. She says it all the time. She, you know, and I would suggest that. She says, I don't know how you ran this practice and injected all day, you know, and tried to be in charge of staff. She said, I don't know how you did it. And I look back now, I don't know how I did it either. Things are much more, they flow. There's so much. So I would suggest that, you know, when your business gets big enough to warrant that, it is important to have someone there kind of helping you keep things aligned.
Yeah. You know, one thing I think as well, that we haven't touched on yet, but I would like to if possible. And that is, you know, with staff and of course teamwork, loyalty, you know, all the things you do for the staff. You know, I think, you know, one of the things I hear throughout the aesthetic industry, and it's not with everybody, but here and there I've heard of the trust. Now, you know, in your practice, there's a lot of value in the products, the inventory, the materials, I mean, everything that you have to invest in to provide to the patient. And, you know, have you ever had any incidents over the years of where that trust was broken, perhaps with theft in the practice or?
Yes, I have. You know, and again, I look back and I tell people all the time, you know, when you have a changeover of staff or you found, you know, that things weren't going in the manner that you thought they were going. I look back and I tell people all the time, it's almost like a bad marriage. You know how you look back and you're like, what was I thinking? How did I not see that? Why did I let that go? Why, you know, and it's just taught me a lot of things. And so now there's a lot of things that I might have overlooked before, and I'm not now. And I'm, you know, I'm a lot wiser in that area. You know, I was a new business owner. I was trying to learn as we go. And, but there it is. It's, you've really got to, again, part of owning the Mets while you were running it, you've got to really keep an eye open on every corner. Yeah. Trust is a huge, huge part of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, because I've just kind of heard stories over the years from doctors and nurses who, and especially with product, you know, because it's, you think it's just boxes of product, but they need to, they're still, it's still medical supplies.
Yes.
That needs to be kept under lock and key, I would think, or at least secure, because it's very.
Yes, it is. It's very expensive. People don't realize. But it is, it's a big expense. It's a huge expense. And you really do need an inventory system. You need someone watching it. You really do. You know, again, when you're starting off small, you don't realize that.
Yeah.
But the bigger you get, boy, do you.
Well, like I said, the bigger you get, you know, the less time you have to pay attention to the details. And so that's why, you know, you do really need that trust, that team that you trust. And somebody who is accountable for the value in the inventory.
Yeah.
So, Amy, I have a couple of not last questions, but I do. You know, you talk about this growth that you've seen, this huge patience. You work 5 days a week, then you train. It sounds like maybe you have a day off. Were you in the ball?
Sometimes.
You've got family, you know, you have all these things and you're up till 2 o'clock in the morning, you know, thinking how can you be even better at what you do. Where do you get all that energy and resourcefulness from?
I attribute that to my parents, I think. My dad is 73 and still in their shag contest, was just karaokeing at the beach last weekend. He never stops. And so I always kid. I say, I hope I live as great of a long life as him. But seriously, I think when it's your passion, it's my passion. I eat, breathe, and sleep it. I don't want to stop. You know, I come in excited every day to this office. You could probably ask my staff. I don't think there's many times they've ever seen me walk in without a smile or ready to go for the day. And I think leading by example is so important, Angela. You know, how can I expect my staff to perform at their very best if I'm coming in slacking? You know, they're going to watch their leader. And so, you know, I'll be here till 8 o'clock some nights, whip from the floors. And they're like, Amy, go home. You know, it's just during COVID, I still came up here and sat 3 days a week and just sat in this environment. It's just, it fuels me. You know, my kids were like, Mom, what are you doing? You don't have patience. You're closed. I just needed it. I just needed this atmosphere. And, you know, that's what's going to weed out the successful med spas from not a successful ones. You know, it's, you have to have that drive and no one can put it in you. You either have it in your soul and you want to do better and learn more, or you don't have it, you know? So I think that's important.
You know, I think something that you touched on earlier, and this is like, and I think my last question for you anyway, is on, you kind of started by saying, you know, that how you made this change in your life and you went to a yoga retreat. And yeah, from that yoga retreat, you came back with a whole different mindset. And so I did, and then you created this, as I said earlier, a little slice of heaven, which is what you, you know, that is, I think something that is important is kind of personal health and wellness. So is there anything you can share with our viewers and listeners on, you know, kind of what are the things you do to nurture yourself?
Yes.
To love yourself.
Yes, Angela. You know, and I'm still learning. I still have to be told sometimes, Amy, go home, stop, reset. You know, we all do. But I will tell you that I have become much better about when I do have a day off or I do have a weekend off, I will shut down. When I leave this office, I will not answer emails. You know, I used to answer every text that came through or, you know, message on Instagram. I was scared I was going to lose, you know, that patient. You won't, you know, and you have to give your day, you know, to that. You have to know that if you don't refuel, if you don't recharge, you know, they say if you go to bed every single night, you know, thinking about what you did wrong that day or keeping your subconscious in that high, strong, you know, I didn't do what I needed to do, you'll never fully recharge. So whether you set a day out a week, you know, that you just completely pull away. I have some patients, they taught me, they said, Amy, they're business owners and they set an alarm. And at the end of the day or at a certain time of day when their alarm goes off, it's 15, 20 minutes breaking away, putting the phone down, go outside. I mean, they literally had their alarm go off while they were in here. But I think it's important, you know, you just can't keep going and not resetting. I try to meditate. It's a very hard thing to do. People think meditating is just laying there with your eyes closed. It's not. You know, I try to practice my yoga. You know, I keep my incense burning around to kind of keep an aura. But I do, I reset on the weekends and they laugh all the time. They'll say, and it's a top knot and it's, you know, as comfortable as I can be and no answer to the phone. And I think that's important. As any business owner or anybody in general, just kind of resetting your subconscious and your well-being. So.
Well, Amy, thank you so much for being on the Aesthetic Insider Show. I've loved this. It's been such a great interview.
Thank you, Angela. I've loved it. It's been awesome. I knew when I met you, we were going to have tons to talk about. We have always studied.
This is the tip of the iceberg.
I agree.
Sure.
I agree.
Yeah. Oh, well, thank you. Thank you so much. And for those of you still with us, remember to watch next Wednesday for another exciting episode of The Aesthetic Insider.